This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox and our executive producer, Carl Middleman. We got a big show for you today. There's some action going on in the area we will be talking about. I do want to start the segment off with giving props to Razorback Armory. Razorback Armory is your cutting-edge gun concierge and repair on Manchester Road. If you're looking to suppress a firearm, get into Razorback. They've got a significant sale going on all month long where you can win some big prizes. So check them out. RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you into the store and repair. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
I love that. I'm doing fine, Bo Matthews. Thank you very much. Getting ready as we record this for a little trip with my RV. And, it never fails because it's March and we know we could still get back into cold weather. So I told my wife my biggest concern is I'm going to de-winterize this pole trailer and then I'm going to get back here from my trip and it's going to get cold again. So these are things that RVers worry about, right? You lose sleep about overnight.
Storage is a big deal. It's a big business for a lot of people, RV storage. Now, Byerly's got an indoor RV storage facility. If you want to, you can also park outside on the lot or whatever. Do you have a place that you stored and is it inside or not?
I do. I've got indoor storage, but it's not climate controlled. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have that. So it's really temperatures below probably 25 to 30 degrees that I would be most worried about a line freezing up. But it might have to get significantly colder than that. We'll see what happens. But you go to the greatest extent you can to put the antifreeze in it, the RV antifreeze, and get pumped through all the lines and in the tank. And then you have to rinse all that stuff out of there multiple times so you're not drinking it. And it's a little bit of a hassle. If I have to come back and do it again, it's not going to put me in a good mood. Let's put it that way.
Okay, well, we'll hope that groundhog was wrong.
Yeah.
It is interesting. There's a lot to go into winterizing that you need to keep track of. And so it's good that you're being smart about it. Remember when we were down at the Lake of the Ozarks, there were some inboard motors that were out there, and it was amazing that they were out there because the winterizing process even has to happen on boats.
It does on inboards for sure. Like if you've got an impeller, it's drawing water up out of the lake to cool the engine, and you got to make sure that's all cleaned out of there and all that, so it doesn't freeze during the winter. And outboards don't have to worry about that. So that's a completely different concern. With boats, you got to make sure you got them up out of the water for the most part. Some of them could sit in the water during the winter. I always kept mine up out of the water. Just for safekeeping. Some people pull theirs out. If you're fortunate enough, you can pull them out. That's fine. You know, but the RV, I'm blessed to have a place where I can park it inside. You can find those places around the area. It can be expensive to park one inside, particularly if it's climate controlled. So that just adds to the expense of being an RVer, I guess. Right?
Well, you know, even in the coldest times that we had through this past winter, my building, which is it is insulated, but it never got below like 48 degrees with no, without the fire chief going. But the unfinished side definitely got colder. But I don't know if it was cold enough to ruin something like that. Here's the other question: winterproofing is one part for RV owners. What about rodent proofing? What do you do for that?
Well, you know, we've never had a problem with it. I imagine it could be an issue. The bigger problem we had last year was ants. We had it parked outside during the summer. I usually park it outside on a just concrete pad at the property where I park it. And there must have been an anthill nearby because we went and got it to take it on a trip, and we found those big black ants that are as long as the end of your little finger. And it took us, we just about couldn't get rid of them. I don't know if they crawled up under the bottom of the camper and built a nest somewhere, and they were just using that as their base of operations. It took us forever, a couple of bombs and traps and everything else, to finally get rid of them. So that was really that was the biggest challenge we faced, because my daughter is a bit of a ninny. And she could not stand the idea that she might be sleeping and one of these ants would be crawling on her, although they don't bite you or anything. But convincing her otherwise, I mean, she's not much of an outdoors type. So,
Definition of ninny, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah,
this is an Ohio term.
I guess so. She's a Sally. Is that a better? Is that a phrase you've heard?
What does that mean? I don't know.
A chicken. I don't
okay,
know.
There she you go. Just now we're on the same page.
But pests give her the heebie-jeebies, so she does not appreciate the. My wife's that way with flying insects. It doesn't matter
too.
If it's a bee or not. She doesn't want anything flying around her, and the little one is that way with bugs. So,
quick story. My dad, when I was a little boy, took me fishing when we lived in Arizona. Went to this river. It's hot. The soda pop is hot. It's not even in the ice cooler. I'm out on the bank, and I don't want to be there. It's so miserably 120 degrees, whatever. And all of a sudden I look up, and I see what looks to me like a spider with wings hovering near me. And I'm, let's say, 6 years old, right? 5-6 years old. I take off running, and I keep looking over my shoulder, and this thing is following me. It's tracking me. I keep going, and I keep looking back. You know what I ended up doing?
Walking on water? What'd you do?
Nope. Ran right into a cactus. Shredded my legs.
Really?
Because I was looking behind me. So since that day, I have every kind of flying insect repellent I can find. One of my favorites is absolutely the bug assault weapon, or the tennis racket you get at Harbor Freight that's electrified with Digby batteries.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Those things are awesome. So that's my recommendation. It's crazy.
Great idea, yeah. For sure. Just a quick reminder, I know a lot of people out about this weekend, the Defiant St. Patrick's Day Parade taking place during the day on Saturday. The big Ancient Order of the Hibernians Parade will be on Monday over in Dogtown. Just a quick reminder, if you missed last weekend's show, and you can always download the podcast, we talked with the director of that, and he was warning people, what you want to do is get there early, plan your day out if you're going there on Monday. And make sure that you've got a plan for where you're going to park. You're probably going to have to walk a little bit to get over there in Dogtown, unless you park one of those side streets near the zoo and walk across Tam Avenue there, or down around Manchester Road and walk up the hill. You have to plan for that. So just a little warning to people.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of people are looking forward to. We had a great guest last week. You can catch on our podcast of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. This week. In this new administration, it seems like every day there's something coming. But I did see a reel, Mark, from Tulsi Gabbard. I think I sent it to you, about the Supreme Court being in a fork in the road on gun rights. This was just a few days ago. And it looks like things are moving in the right direction, but it depends on what source you're getting it from. Are you up on that story?
Well,
I think I sent you the real
thing. Thing about it is, we've gotten some mixed signals from the Supreme Court. I mean, they came out with their fantastic decision confirming that you have the right to keep and bear arms, but then they've let ridiculous laws like the AR ban, the automatic, semi-automatic weapon ban, stand in Illinois. They haven't stepped in and just shut that down immediately. That, to me, that shouldn't even have to go through the court system. That's a no-brainer. Why would you the FOID card, for example? And I'm not picking on Illinois here, but that is a slap in the face of the Second Amendment. And for the court not to step in and shut those down immediately, because the whole point of a TRO or whatever you want to call it, a restraining order, is to immediately relieve the person of this injunction on their constitutional rights, and they haven't done that. So we are at a little bit of a crossroads. I'm hoping we're going to get some satisfaction here, if not this term, soon, on some of those bigger cases. And the Supreme Court is going to, you know, step in at some point and finally make a ruling that's in favor of gun owners.
Right, right. What is it called? A history and tradition test. Supreme Court adopted, this is from News Republic, they adopted what's come to known as the history and tradition test in the Second Amendment case. This is 3 years ago, and the lower courts have wrestled with countless questions about how to apply it, and they've noted how the judges have taken a wide range of approaches to finding the historical counterparts of modern gun laws, which, you know, you've talked about before. If it's not a gun, it's a knife. If it's not a knife, it's a rock. You know, people will...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Always have weapons at their disposal. and it's about the person holding the weapon is what's most concerning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So hopefully, a federal statute would talk, I mean, like we have in our, I understand states have their own individual constitutions, but when it comes to that, you know, preserving your own life and your family's life, it kind of makes sense that it's across the board.
It's like concealed carry reciprocity. That should be nationwide. It shouldn't be state by state, so that I don't have to worry when I drive through the state of Illinois that I'm going to get in trouble just because my concealed carry license happens to be from the state of Missouri. They should not be allowed to do that. You know, another story you and I haven't talked about a lot is this whole overreaction to the tariff issue. And I really thought that this weekend, this was Howard Lutnick, who's the Commerce Secretary, was on this past week with CBS. And the CBS reporter's like, but tariffs, but how dare he charge a 50% tariff to Canada? What was he thinking about? Like, they can't get past the fact that you have to carry a big stick sometimes. And this is what Donald Trump is doing with Canada and Mexico and other places in the world. Listen to this interview, this comment that Howard Lutnick made to the CBS reporter regarding tariffs. Listen.
And the only one who thinks it's chaotic is someone who's being silly. He said reciprocal tariffs.
Nobody expected him to announce 50% tariffs this morning.
He needed to break some guy in Ontario who said he was going to tax American energy 25%. The president of the United States in the White House says, oh, no, you won't, and breaks him. Breaks him. In what? By a tweet and a truth. And you think that's chaotic? You know what I think that is? I think that is the thank God we have a president who's taking care of us. Because if you were in one of those states and you thought your energy prices were going to go up 25%, and you said, where's the president? And all of a sudden he came down like thunder to make that end, you'd say, cool. I'm glad that's the guy in the White House.
I love that. Was my soundbite of the week there, Bo Matthews.
I love that. I love it because you said Mark Reardon has a soundbite of the week. You don't get that, but you got your own now.
I do.
Yeah, Lutnick is great, man. And you know, I'm feeling more and more people in the administration are pushing against the media. Anyway, yeah. We got a big show for you. If you thought tariffs were the worst of your concerns, how about coyotes? Coyotes. We're going to go Coyote Ugly next on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Are you ready for it, Mark?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
It's Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Now, if you listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show Monday through Friday here on 97.1 from 5 to 9, then you probably know that they have a feature called Kim on a Whim. That's where Mark's co-host Kim St. Ange hosts her very own segment. Well, this week she talked about coyotes. Did you know it's coyote mating season? Yeah, well, we're going to talk about all that right now with Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim.
Here's a fun fact for you. Did you know that it's coyote mating season right now?
The only reason I knew that is that I saw a headline about it the other day, which I mentioned to you, and I'm like, I don't pay attention to those things, I guess. But I did hear coyotes howling the other day from my back porch.
Well, there you go.
Thank you. That must be why.
It's one of those things where you see articles like this and you're like, come on. What are the odds I'm actually going to be seeing a coyote or something would happen? Because they always warn about, make sure your dog's on a leash. And, you know, especially the people with the small dogs, they tend to really get nervous that some coyote's going to come in and grab their dog from their backyard. And I don't have a dog now. I have in the past. But, you know, you just like, okay, sure. That's really not going to happen to me. And I, like I said, I did have that mindset until I ran across this woman out of West County when I was reporting at Channel 4. And I want to play part of the story for you.
A wild story out of West County where a dog versus coyote fight ends inside a woman's basement. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. I'm Steve Savard.
I'm Samantha Jones. She didn't realize the coyote was still hiding inside her home and had been there for days. The woman is sharing her story only with News 4's Kim St. Ange.
Well, tonight we've learned even a glass door and an 8-foot fence is not enough to stop a coyote. It's about to be mating season for them, so a lot of them are out hunting for prey. And in this case, it was a 90-pound dog.
That surprised me. I mean, obviously a coyote is very strong, but it surprised me that it had the guts to go after a 90-pound dog. Usually someone with that size dog, I don't think would be as worried.
I don't remember this story when it happened, but watching that, I don't know how I missed it. They were rolling around on the back porch. They broke out a pane of glass in her back door, which was like a lower level entrance door to her basement. And at what point did she realize there was something going on after she saw the blood?
Yeah, so like you said, this dog and the coyote fighting in the backyard. It was her neighbor's dog. They bust through the glass back door of her home. They're into her basement where it's carpeted, finished basement. There's blood everywhere. She said it looked like a crime scene. I assume she heard it. I mean, this must have been in 2019. This is like pre-COVID era. And she sees the dog whimpering, like I said, blood everywhere. And she just doesn't think there's the coyote anywhere. I mean, she doesn't really know exactly what happened. So anyway, she has a cleaning crew come over to her house a few days after this whole incident because of all the blood and everything. And one of the people from the cleaning crew says, "Ma'am, you have a dead raccoon in your basement. There was like an unfinished storage area." And they spotted the dead raccoon, I guess, in the corner. So she ends up calling this animal control
pest
company.
Pest removal, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pest removal. And they said, "Ma'am, that's not a dead raccoon. That's a live coyote." They saw the coyote's eyes glaring at them in the corner of this storage unit. And what's crazy about it is I remember her telling me, this woman was probably in her, I don't know, 60s or 70s. And she says, "I had the door to my basement open," meaning this coyote could have easily gotten up from the corner of that storage room and walked right upstairs and potentially up into her bedroom.
For 3 days,
this coyote was just living in her basement. She had no clue. So
wow.
We, of course, had video of this animal, you know, control. It wasn't like the county animal control. I'm trying to remember. It was like wildlife. Wildlife Command Center. That's what it was.
Yeah.
They were fantastic to work with. I had great stories with them over the years while I was at Channel 4. And you see them trying to wrangle this coyote. But yeah, it's just interesting. Like I said, you hear about this stuff happening. They're always warning you every year around this time because mating season, they say, is February to the beginning of March. So we're kind of at the height of it. They're more active. They're more aggressive.
So did they think the animal in this case had rabies or anything? Like what? That's a very unusual way for a wild animal to act.
I'm not sure.
Did that ever get brought up?
No, I don't think it ever got brought up. I think, as far as how aggressive it was.
Right.
Well, I think it's just because of how, because it's mating season. They say they're more active and more aggressive.
But was it injured? Like, why did it stay there for 3 days? Because most of them would have tried to get the hell out of there
it didn't
and
look injured.
Gone back to where it came from.
It did not. When I saw the video, it did not look injured. And this is like 6 years ago now. I'm trying to remember what the guy said.
Another reason not to have a doggy door. Because something other than a doggy could come through it, right?
Even if you have a glass door, apparently, they will make it into a doggy door.
How was her dog? Did her dog recover?
It wasn't her dog. It was her neighbor's dog.
Oh.
I think the dog was fine. I mean, she found that dog in her basement whimpering and cut up from all the glass that it busted through the door. But there was something.
So, what are the safety recommendations during coyote mating season? Are there any?
They talk about keeping your dog on a leash, your pets on a leash in general. They also talk about securing your trash, your garbage bins to prevent attracting coyotes into the yard. Listen to this is a Fox 2 article. It says if a coyote is spotted in your neighborhood making loud noises, chasing them off, or spraying them with a hose are suggested deterrent methods. I'm just picturing some old lady out there with her hose, like, "Get scat, scat, get out of there, coyote, go, leave, get off my lawn."
I just brought up the rabies thing because it is unusual. I encountered a rabid fox one time when I was in a previous job, and it walked around my car. Like, I was in the car, and I saw it on the side of the street where I was parked. And it saw me, and it started circling the car. This is a fox. They're tiny, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't have anything with me to deal with it, so I just drove off because I wasn't going to try to get out and deal with it. My assumption was it was sick because they don't normally act like that.
So foxes are really cute. I know that I should not approach one, but would a fox, are they known to be aggressive?
Only if they're, like, have rabies.
There was a really cute fox that was in my neighborhood, and I used to see it when I was driving to work every morning. And it's funny because my husband and I go out one morning. Well, this happened multiple times, but we go out and we have the welcome mat, where it's like you have a layered look, men, where you have the bigger one that has the pattern, and then you have the cute one that actually says like welcome or hello. Do you know what I'm talking about? And we noticed that the bigger, you're looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about. No? It doesn't really matter. Carl seems to know what I'm talking
about.
Does he?
Okay, all right.
It's instead of one
trendy
mat,
Mark.
It's two mats.
Okay.
Does your wife have
top
two mats?
Of each other.
They look cute.
I don't think so.
Does Nicole have this?
One of them, yeah.
Okay, see? So anyway, we noticed that
only needs to be one.
No, there needs to be two. It's aesthetically pleasing. Anyway, they were the larger one was like being clawed up. We were like, what is going on? And it was like it was getting worse and worse and worse. They ruined our mat, and we had no idea what animal this was. I walk out one morning, and I'm sorry if you're eating breakfast, but there's poop on our porch, like right on the mat. So we think it was actually the fox that was coming in and clawing up potentially the mat, and then decided to leave us a little present on our porch. I mean, unless it's some random...
Could have been your neighbor.
It could have been a cat. There is a cat I've seen wandering around, but I don't know why the cat would be out there overnight. But
did they put it in a bag and set it on fire?
No, they did not. I really hope it's not my neighbor.
I saw a coyote right over here.
Downtown?
Yes.
A downtown coyote?
Yes. So when I work Enterprise Center concerts, I park over here and walk over here, and I usually see lots of bunnies. The other day, I saw a not alive bunny anymore, and I saw something else, and I took a picture of it, and I showed Ethan, and he's like, that's a coyote.
Now that you mention it, I remember when I worked at Channel 4, somewhere in Richmond Heights or somewhere like that, somebody kept reporting a coyote in his neighborhood, and the authorities didn't believe him, so he finally shot it and covered it up with a little baby pool and called them, and they came out and confirmed it was a coyote living somewhere in the middle of the city. I didn't know they did that. I thought it was a dog, and I took a picture of it.
They like the walkability factor in the city.
I guess. Everything's convenient. Yeah. There are garbage cans behind every
they have all the alley access.
Alley.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
April on Facebook, they're smart. They'll work as a team to lure your pets to them. Our dogs keep chasing one of them off. Seems to know not to get too close. I mean, it is scary. It's funny because when I was at Channel 4, my reporter friends there used to joke that I was the animal beat because I was always finding these stories to pitch because they're interesting.
Critter control.
Yeah. Well, Scooter's saying Kim's Critters. Maybe we need to name that, have a new name for my segment. But one of the craziest stories I ever did at Channel 4 was a man who was probably in his 80s who lived in North City by himself. And somehow I found this story where a hawk busted through his bedroom window and was flying around his bedroom. And he comes into his room and he finds this massive hawk with its wings wide open, hanging upside down on his curtains, like the curtain rod.
Wow.
And he has video, cell phone video of it flying around his room. They wouldn't let me do it. They wanted me to chase some stupid story that impacted.
So you never
like
did the story?
No, I did. Oh. Like five people. They finally let me change over to that story after me begging them for hours. I think at like 6 or 7 p.m. So I have like 3 hours until it's supposed to go on the air. I managed to pull the story off. I talked to the animal group that rescued this hawk, and you know, it was incredible. I mean, like, how often do you have a hawk fly through your bedroom window and fly around your room and you have video of it? And they didn't want me to do it at first.
Wow.
You've got to be kidding
me. That would have been only on 4.
It
like,
was only on 4. It was. I got the man to talk. He wasn't going to talk at first, and I begged him.
Please, I do
story.
An animal segment every
week. Thank you.
I feel strongly about that.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I hope you enjoyed that segment from this past week on the Mark Cox Morning Show. All right, stick around. More of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors when we bring in Dan Zarlinga from the Missouri Department of Conservation about all that.
To Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, I forgot to put in my Acme order this week for my new rocket there for the Roadrunner and the Coyote. It tis the season for coyote breeding, apparently, as you picked up in that conversation I had with Kim St. Ange there. And this is the thing. We've got Dan Zarlinga on there with us now, media specialist for the St. Louis region for the Missouri Department of Conservation. And Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely. Great to have you. It is peak breeding season for coyotes, and that might mean a few more sightings, I'm guessing, in the urban area here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the peak of coyote breeding season happens in February through March, so we're kind of right in the thick of it right now. And then after a couple of months, the pups will be born, and then that will create another surge of activity as the parents are finding food for their pups and rearing their pups. So this is a very active time of year for coyotes, and so there's definitely a greater chance that people might be seeing them just because they're moving around more and there's more activity.
Dan, are there stories of people being hurt by coyotes, being protective, or, hey, why are you interrupting me, or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. So in Missouri, there's been no documented cases of coyote attacks on humans. So they're not, you know, we're not on the coyote's diet, so we're pretty big compared to a coyote. So they're most likely not going to go after humans. The only time we've had issues, though, is sometimes they will have territorial disputes, if you will, with pets like dogs, because they might sense the dog as a, you know, intruding canine. It's kind of a territorial thing. And especially small dogs seem to have a habit of being pretty aggressive and noisy and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of times there's some problems there. So what we urge folks to do if there have been coyotes spotted in your area is to definitely keep an eye on your pets and use extra vigilance. So like when you let your pets out, make sure you're out there with them, like in the backyard. You don't just let them out unattended, especially at dawn or dusk. That's definitely a time when coyotes are a lot more active typically. And if you walk your dog, it's always a good idea to have your dog on a leash for many reasons, but this is yet another one. So you can kind of control their movements and you don't have to worry about them possibly coming afoul of a coyote. And so just basically, you know, just be a lot more vigilant with your pets. And if you feed them outside, if you can discontinue that for a while, that's great. If you can't, just leave the food out only long enough for them to eat and then bring it back in, because that kind of food also attracts coyotes.
Well, sure it does, yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about that, Dan, because people probably need to understand that they're scavengers, right? I mean, they'll eat just about anything.
Yeah, they do. So they have a pretty wide diet. So one of the things that's kind of unique about coyotes as opposed to some other kinds of wildlife is that coyotes actually adapt very well around human presence. So they do surprisingly well in suburban areas and even in urban areas, because we've had coyotes documented sightings and photographs from Tower Grove Park and Forest Park and lots of urban areas and suburban areas. So they survive really well. Anytime there's some green space, whether it's a park, whether it's a subdivision, you know, common ground, whether it's a golf course or a cemetery or a corridor along a stream, they can basically use those corridors to live in, move in.
Yes.
So they can be very, very versatile, and they'll eat just about anything from meat, you know, to trash, to fruits, to vegetables, carrion. They'll even eat carrion if it's there. So they eat a wide variety of things, and including things that we throw away.
Yeah, Dan Zarlinga is our guest, media specialist with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Dan, my question is, do you have a population number of coyotes for the state of Missouri, or even an approximate? And if so, how do you do that?
Yeah, so no, we really don't. The coyotes are not something that we are actively tracking as far as populations go. So I don't really have any figures to give you there, unfortunately. But they are very common. They're pretty much statewide. So just in general, I can say those two things. So they are, you know, just they adapt to a wide variety of habitats. And like I said, especially around humans. So and they actually gain some advantages from being around humans, especially with, well, I mentioned the trash and stuff. That's a good source of food for them. So one of the things that we urge folks to do, too, is, you know, in addition to being vigilant with your pets, there's also two other things. First of all, there's with regard to temptations. We want to eliminate temptations for coyotes. So like I mentioned, the trash, if you can avoid putting it out to the morning of so it's exposed less, that's a good measure. If you can keep your trash airtight sealed in some kind of container or keep it indoors in a shed, a garage, a basement, or something like that until you put it out. That way that temptation isn't there. I mentioned about pet food already. Try to discontinue that if there's coyotes in the area, or just leave it out no longer than necessary. grills are another source of temptations with the grease and meat droppings. You want to make sure those are clean or put away somewhere inaccessible, like I mentioned about the trash. So if we don't have those attractions in our yards, then there'll be less likelihood they'll want to come to our yards.
Yeah. What I know there's not, obviously there's not a coyote season. They're not considered game. But you know, the rule has been, I've hunted on other people's property over the years, and now my brother-in-law owns a piece of property, and we hunt out there, and he's always told me, if we're deer hunting and you see one, feel free to shoot it. What are the rules surrounding that?
Yeah, so coyotes are one of those seasons that's pretty much, I mean, it's almost all the time. I mean, it's basically January 1 through December 31. So, you know, you can more or less do that because they are so abundant. There is a more specific trapping season through November and February, but as far as the hunting goes, you can pretty much hunt them anytime. So, not a real big thing there. Obviously, in the urban and suburban areas, that's not practical.
Yeah, that's true.
you can't really do much hunting a lot of things. It's not practical in those areas, or at least certainly by a lot of methods. But anyway. But one of the things, though, that we also, if you are having some issues with coyotes, I mentioned about the temptations, eliminating those. The other thing that you can do, too, is scare tactics. It's conditioning, basically. So if coyotes come near your yard, anything you can do to make it an unpleasant experience, whether it's yelling at them, throwing things like rocks, squirting them with hoses, shining bright lights at them, if you've got some loud noise-making devices like air horns or starter pistols or whatever, anything to make them make it an unpleasant experience. So if you do that enough, they'll eventually be dissuaded from coming to your yard. So those are the things that we recommend. Don't give them temptations, and if they do show up, make it an unpleasant experience and harass them so they won't want to come back.
Yeah. What we're talking to Dan Zarlinga from the Missouri Department of Conservation. It particularly where we hunt, this would generally be during probably turkey season or deer season. I've been led to believe that they can, if not limit, they can have an impact on how deer act on a piece of property. Is that true? I mean, if there was a big coyote population in a particular area, could it impact the deer population in terms of how they move and where they go?
A deer would see a coyote as a threat. So, yes, if there's coyotes around, it may influence their movement. But that's because deer see a lot of things as threats.
Well,
generally, coyotes are not, deer are not their number one prey. They're usually going after smaller things like rabbits and, you know, small animals, small furry animals, raccoons, things like that. They're not typically going after deer. That's not to say they wouldn't, and especially if there's a sick deer or older one or something, they feel they could, you know, basically dog it, as the saying goes,
right,
and they could take it down. They might, yes. Young deer, maybe, yes. They might, fawns, that kind of thing, they might tend to go for a little bit more. A healthy adult deer probably wouldn't be their first choice of prey, but it's possible. So, yes, a deer would see them as a threat, even though they're not the first thing a coyote would go for.
Dan, we're throwing everything at you that our listeners probably are not even thinking of. But when you warn us about our own pets, whether them being on leash or in a fence, keep an eye on them, is it because there's a threat of death to the pets or crossbreeding?
Well, mostly the former. We have had instances where pets, you know, have been taken or killed by coyotes.
Okay.
So that is something that that's the main concern, basically. I have heard of crossbreeding happening. I don't know much about that. Can't really confirm much, but the biggest threat would be I'd be more concerned about the former than I would the latter. So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the kind of thing. And again, it's not so much they're going to attack them as prey. They're most likely see this as a territorial dispute, and we're going to solve this one way or another from the coyote's point of view.
Well, hopefully, I don't think there are probably many out there on Bo's piece of property because he's constantly playing that hip-hop music and his speakers on
his
back porch. Yeah,
that's
when
right.
He's sitting out there in the hot tub, and that probably scares him away, right?
That could be.
No, no, seriously though, the wailing that I hear off in the distance, is that coyotes? Because I don't know.
Probably, yeah. A lot of people think they're wolves or something, but we don't really have wolves in the state, so it's probably coyotes. And they can do a wide variety of sounds. They can be anything from howling to high-pitched howling, usually, to yipping, barking, and, you know, screaming sounds. They have quite a wide variety, and they can be, like in urban areas, they can be triggered by things like sirens and car horns and things like that, too, can sometimes trigger them to start calling.
Well, it's better than the polka music that Mark plays in his backyard. okay, before we let you go, I'm going to throw it out there. Because you are like the scientific, the animal guy at the Missouri Department of Conservation, can you define coyote ugly for us? There's a movie about it.
I just haven't seen it, so I think it's a bar somewhere, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
but
in New York City.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. So, don't say another word.
Whether coyotes go there or not, I don't know. So, they do eat anything. I don't know if they drink anything.
Not touching that one, Bo Matthews. I hadn't even thought about that. So I think I might have mentioned this during the interview there when Kim and I talked about this, where the coyote had broken into somebody's house while fighting with a dog. And, I mean, that's got to be very unusual, I know. But it, in terms, I'm pretty sure, it's funny you said that, Dan, because I'm pretty sure we just moved to St. Charles County, and we live in a highly populated area north of 94. So I was a little surprised, but I was pretty sure I heard some coyotes yelping when I was out on my back porch the other night. So, I they are in urban areas.
Yeah, it's very likely that that's what you heard. And like I said, if they can live in places in St. Louis City, they can certainly do it in St. Charles City, and then, you know, anywhere, you know, less populated than that, too. So, yeah, like I said, very versatile animals. They're very intelligent. They're very adaptable. Interesting little story about their intelligence. So in the wild, coyotes are typically more nocturnal. But when they're existing around humans, they can actually alter that behavior. There are in stories where they have actually, like, they get to know what day the trash is put out.
Wow.
And they get out there and rummage through the trash because they know it's Thursday. Well, they don't know what day it is, but they can tell by the cycle that this is every seventh day.
Their Apple Watch has ordered them.
Yeah, and so they do that. So, yeah, they'll alter their behavior to be more active in daylight if they feel that they can get more food that way or something like that. So they're very versatile. And, again, that goes back to not putting that trash out until as late as possible so they don't have as much opportunity.
Yeah, that's a good point. They probably better know when my trash is supposed to go out than I am. I've forgotten it several times since they changed days on me recently, for sure. Well, Dan Zarlinga with the Missouri Department of Conservation, we appreciate your great information on this, my friend. Thank you.
Sure thing. And if you want to find out more, just go to our website, mdc.mo.gov. And we have a whole page on there about, how to deal with coyotes and stuff. It goes in a lot more detail, especially if you have some property outwards, like fences and things like that you can do.
Yep. Excellent. Dan, thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yep. We appreciate that. Yep. Controlling conflicts with urban coyotes. That's the name of a free brochure they've got from the Department of Conservation.
That's very nice that they're thoughtful. And, you know, when you get to the point of you're asking them about what coyote ugly is, you know the interview is getting to the end.
Sounds like the name of a band, the Urban Coyotes, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Yeah, it does. See, we'll come up with a new one every time. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson.
Johnson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.